Welcome back to the podcast, my friends. Glad to have you here this week. Before we dive in, a couple quick announcements. First, Sunday night, December 22nd, we are hosting a White Elephant gift exchange party for Hope Clinic in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Please come out, join us with my missional community at 6 o'clock. We have dinner together, and then we're going to have the White Elephant gift exchange party where we are collecting donations for Hope Clinic. It's a great time. All the details are available on my Twitter profile at Daniel M. Rose. It's pinned right there. So go to twitter.com/DanielMRose. You will find all the information for Sunday, December 22nd, 6 p.m. I hope you'll come out. Hope you'll be a part of this great, great experience. Also, if you are looking for a Christmas Eve experience and you're not really a, you know, Christmas church kind of person, this is the opportunity for you. 5 p.m. Christmas Eve at the Tap Room in downtown Ypsilanti, the Simple Theologians are hosting a Christmas Eve on tap, Christmas Eve on tap, and it's going to be a great time. It's going to last about an hour from 5 to 6 p.m. Get a beverage, get a cocktail, get a little bit of food if you want. And it is just going to be a time of carols and lessons and a prayer or two. And then we're out. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Anytime the Simple Theologians get together, we have a great time. It's always, always a riot. You never know what's really going to happen. So I hope that you will come out Tuesday night at 5 p.m. at the Tap Room. And that's all I've got as far as things I want you to be aware of coming up here in the real world. So let's get on with it, shall we? We're continuing our conversations on spiritual practice. And we've talked about grace. We've talked about truth. And today I want to talk about what I consider to be the key to spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, the key to spiritual growth. And that is the third value of time. So we have grace, truth, and time. I'm the oldest of three sons. I check like every box on the oldest child list. Chief among them is that if I don't think I can do something perfect right away, I usually don't even try. I make no attempt at it at all. I'm not even doing that. I just go out and try to find somebody else to do it for me. And but the weird thing to me about that is the reality that I love to learn. I mean, learning is like my thing. I love finding out new things and taking in new things. I love to read. I get passionate about different technologies and different softwares and all kinds of different things because they're new. And I love that. I love engaging in the new and I love learning new stuff. But when it comes to actually trying something, and if I don't think I can do it, I won't. So what I'm coming to realize is that when I say I love to learn, what I mean is I love to gain new information. And that isn't necessarily the same thing. Learning and gaining information, they're not equivalent. And so this is really important when it comes to spiritual growth. Because within my tribe of Christianity, spiritual growth is oftentimes directly related to the receipt and comprehension of information. So you get stuff, you get information, and you're considered to be spiritually growing or spiritually maturing if you can turn around and show that you comprehended this information. It's all very intellectual. So if you know this or understand that, then you are becoming spiritually mature. You know, people who have been to Bible college or seminary, they're given like this big time platform as though they have reached, you know, some sort of extra level in the hierarchy of spiritual maturity just because they've taken in more information. Now, the great thing about information intake is it just doesn't take much time, right? It's not a long haul. There's not much commitment on information intake. We can read a book in a few days and have the information in your brain. You can go to a conference or a seminar and learn all kinds of new information in a very short time. We are inundated with information intake opportunities. I am starting to fall in love with podcasts because of that. I can listen to a podcast, throw it on double time, and listen to an hour-long podcast in 30 minutes, take all that information in, and now I've got my brain is firing, get all this new information to draw from. The result of this, though, is that we are so overfilled with information. We are completely and utterly filled up. We are these walking, talking encyclopedias, basically. We have the collected knowledge of the human species in our pockets on our cell phones, right? You just pull up the DuckDuckGo machine and you're ready to rock. You can access information in seconds. And so we are constantly taking in information. And for someone like me, I love it. I love the ability to continue to take in new information and learn new things, learn new stuff. But that is not the same as growing in maturity, right? We want to grow in maturity as followers of Christ. We want to become more like Him. And for far too long in my tribe, spiritual maturity equated with information has undermined true spiritual growth and discipleship. I want to say that again. For too long now, this equating of spiritual maturity with information has undermined true spiritual growth and discipleship. And because of that, we have a Christianity in the United States that has tons of knowledge, right? I mean, the average churchgoer in the U.S. is one of the most can potentially be one of the most well-educated Christians in the history of the world. I mean, the opportunities that we have are endless. You go to the average church community, the average congregation, you can get information at Sunday school. You can get information in the worship service. You can get information in a Bible study. You can get information at a Wednesday night teaching opportunity. I mean, that's pretty standard, I would say, across the board from what I've seen. It's a lot of information intake. We are inundated with it. Over lunch a little bit ago, a friend and I were talking about discipleship and spiritual practice. And we're discussing how much of discipleship is simply information transfer through one-on-ones or small groups, that kind of thing. Yet the transfer of information is not the point of the discipleship we see in the life of Jesus, right? Most of our structures in a lot of our churches, a lot of our Christian organizations are structured to simply pass along information. And yet, as we walk through the New Testament, as we walk through the story, and we see Jesus, his discipleship was not primarily about information transfer. His discipleship was about something else. The goal of discipleship that we see from Jesus is imitation. That is, to become as much as it depends on us, like Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't hold classes or seminars with his disciples. No, he lived life with them. They spent time together in one another's homes and traveling the highways and byways of Palestine. I mean, you read through the gospel accounts, and everything seems like it's just kind of like boom, 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 right? As if 3 years really only took half hour. But when it says they went to the next town, I mean, that's hours and hours of walking. That could be miles and miles. That could be multiple day journeys where Jesus and his immediate followers, his disciples, are all traveling together through Palestine. And they're living with each other. And if you've ever done that, if you've ever, you know, gone camping with somebody for a while, or if you've had an experience, maybe you went to college and your living situation had, you know, more than just one roommate. When you start gathering people together, it doesn't take long before, you know, you begin rubbing up against one another relationally, where it's like, oh, that thing that I thought was a quirk is super annoying, and now I want to punch you in the face. And what happens is conflict rises up, and you learn how to deal with that. You learn how to extend grace and truth and mercy to one another. And for the disciples of Jesus, as they did this, as they lived together and they followed him and they lived day to day with Jesus, their goal was to become more like him. You know, they wanted to emulate his life. They wanted their lives to look like his life. And that's significant stuff. And that is so different than what we talk about when we talk about discipleship. Because when we talk about discipleship, it's so much about just information. See, the disciples, they were able to witness Jesus living life and responding to all the mundane and routine things. They were up close. They were personal with him in big moments and struggles. They were so close and spending so much time. It allowed them to fashion their lives after Jesus. So when he finally left, they spent the rest of their lives trying to imitate him and inviting others to imitate them as they imitated Christ. We see Paul, who wasn't a disciple of Jesus during his earthly ministry, but we see Paul make that call, right? As an apostle, as one who is leading churches, he says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." That's what discipleship is about. That's what coming and growing into spiritual maturity is about. It is growing in our Christ likeness, and we do that in environments of grace where we're receiving truth. But inherent in this process is something that someone like me doesn't really understand, doesn't really like, and that is time. Time is one of the most important factors in the life of the person who wants to become like Christ. There's nothing that can replace it. Time is what is required for us to experience fullness of life. It's required for us to grow in maturity each moment, each hour, each day, each week, each month, each year brings us into a deeper understanding of the way of Christ. Time is that important. We can't rush the clock or the calendar. We can't. We can't rush it. When my kids were babies, I could think I could dream about the day when they weren't completely reliant for me on everything. But I couldn't rush that process. That process takes time. Just like physical maturity takes time and emotional maturity takes time, so does spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity requires time. So what we must learn to do is to be present in the very moment we are in. Because every single moment is an opportunity for us to be more like Christ. I think that's what Paul meant when he wrote that we should take each thought captive, right? When we learn to be present in each of these moments, and we string together the moments so they become hours and days and weeks and months and years, what we find is that over time, we have become more like Christ. I've got a friend who says, less happens in 1 year than we want, more happens in 5 years than we can ever hope or imagine. He's talking about that. He talks about that in the context of growing and building a ministry. But I think about every five-year cycle of my life, every five-year period of my life, and I look back at the 5 years previous, and I'm so radically different. I've changed so much. And I hope at the end of every five-year period of my life, I'll be able to look and see, in that 5 years, I've become more like Christ. But it takes time. It takes time to become. There are no overnight sensations in the arts or sports. All those people who've been labeled as overnight sensations, they've put in years of work for that one moment of greatness. I mean, think about that. Truly. Years and years and sacrifice and giving of themselves and giving everything they had. And for so many, the result of that is one moment of greatness. But it wasn't an overnight thing. For those of us who want to be like Christ, no amount of information gain will offset our need of time. Nothing can offset our need of time. Yeah, you can go read all the systematic theologies, and you can read all the church history, and you can read the Bible 100 times, and you can tear it apart and study it, and you can learn Greek and you can learn Hebrew, you can study the Bible in its original languages, you can know all of the cultural context. But that does not equal spiritual maturity. Because here's the thing. We need time to learn to love. We need time to learn to forgive. We need time to learn kindness. We need time to learn humility. We need time to learn gentleness. We need time to learn patience. We need time to learn contentment. We need time to learn how to speak truth. We need time to learn how to follow Christ. Time is nothing that we can just kind of pick up and drop down. No. Time is something that we just live into. So grace, truth, time, you need all three. You got to have time. The thing about time, though, is that it's the one thing we absolutely need, and it is something that we absolutely can't control. And that is so hard, and that is so frustrating. We can't hurry spiritual maturity and growth. You can't hurry it. That's why Paul talks about in his letter to Timothy, don't put somebody as an elder who's young in the faith. They may look mature, but they're not. Yeah, they gotta. It takes time to grow up. There's gonna be mistakes, and we are gonna fail at being like Christ. We are not going to get it perfect right away. We're just not. Following Christ Becoming like Christ is so hard. It is so hard. Holiness, the pursuit of a Christ-like holiness, a holiness where the hurt and the wounded are drawn to you because you embody and you exude mercy and compassion and empathy and care to a world filled with the hurt, filled with the hurting. That takes time. And you can't rush it. So for us to grow, the key is giving ourselves the time to grow. We need grace, we need truth, and boy, do we need time. Don't rush it, my friends. Don't rush it. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas. And a very fancy theological word called incarnation. And then we're going to get back to the spiritual practice stuff. And we're going to start looking specifically at some disciplines. And we'll talk more about that in a couple weeks after the new year. So, you know what? Until next week, love well, my friends.